It's a strange feeling sometimes when I come down Springs and I get in this pulpit with down over you folks. You look so familiar. And even Brother Jerry and his wife, they belong here too. You know, they look familiar. It's home to me in a way. I enjoyed 3 years in this little church and this town, this area. You know, folks, I mow the yard all winter long down here. I mean, it's nice weather sometimes. Did enjoy it, but the Lord had other things in mind for me. And I'm thankful He did. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm comfortable there. That's where the Lord put me. I've learned a lot. I've learned to depend on Him over the years and through the problems me and my wife had. And He's never let me down. He's always been there. So again, let me say I appreciate the opportunity to be with you folks. I'm glad you had your conference. And even though I wasn't on the program, it seems like I am. So the Lord takes care of that too, doesn't He? I told Brother Lawrence that I was going to come on vacation. He said preachers don't ever take vacation, so I guess maybe that's true.
Right.
Turn in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to read the first 7 verses in Galatians chapter 4. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Isn't that an amazing statement?
Right.
The Son of God, made of a woman, made under the law. I mean, when you read the Bible, there's things jump out at you. That's just absolutely amazing. God became a man in the normal way.
Yeah.
God, born of a woman. That's amazing. The more we think about it. It goes on to say, "To redeem them that were under the law, that was the purpose of it, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because ye are sons," don't you love that one? "God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore," that is because of this, "thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." I'm going to deal with that little thought in that last verse, an heir of God through Christ. As I've gotten older, I've realized that what it is to be an heir, you know, to receive something, and when your parents pass away, and of course my parents have all passed away, my wife's parents passed away, and we both got a little bit of inheritance, not a whole lot to speak of from them. You always realize those type of things, and you try to apply that to life. And people talk about getting an inheritance and having this money to do things that they've never done before, and they get all excited about it and feel with a lot of joy what they're going to be able to do, especially if they got a rich uncle that passed away and mentioned them in their will and stuff of that nature. And I watched as people have done this. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to know several people who have inherited some things and been able to do things that they have never been able to do before. And I watched them get really excited when they found out about it. They just had to tell everybody in the world about what had happened and how much they were getting. I mean, they even go into detail sometimes, tell you right down to the dollar how much money they were getting. They're so excited about it. And it dawned on me that here we are, heirs of God, and we don't get too much excited about it anymore.
Right.
And to me, that's just a sad situation. Because we are children of the King. We're going to inherit the world, the universe. We're going to inherit everything with Jesus. I mean, there's no limitation what is ours in Christ Jesus. And we just... Ever seen Baptist churches get excited anymore? I mean, I'm being honest about it. I'm not trying to go into the flesh. I know that this has been done so much, I think maybe that's what's wrong with our churches. But it's hard to get a real solid amen sometimes out of a Baptist church. And folks, we've got something to shout about. We are the sons of God, the heirs with His only begotten Son. We've got royalty in our veins. What an amazing thought. I want to deal with that if I don't preach it before I get to it. In this book, the apostle deals with several things. He deals primarily with the importance of faith over works. Chapter 3 and verse 2, he points this out. How that the law was just simply a schoolmaster. The law could never give us that inheritance. It never could satisfy the demand because of the weakness of the flesh. We were not able to become sons of God by the law. And so he sent his son into this world to do that for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him." And I think sometimes, you know, we think here's the Son of God. Of course he doesn't sin. He's God. But we forget that he condescended and became a man. And he was tempted as a man. And yet he remained perfect and pure and holy. Not one infraction of the law of God was ever committed by the Son of God. And he did that for us. To give us this position of heirship with him in God's eternal kingdom. There's so much in this that's not possible to preach it in a dozen sermons. And I'm going to try to skip over and just bring out a few things. I wanted to deal not only with the children of God this morning, but with you that are here that are not children of God. Because as years have gone by, I've been more and more impressed to the critical time that we live in which I'm convinced the Lord's coming soon. We don't have just maybe a little bit longer, for a very short time, to witness and to preach Christ to lost people. And I know that God's going to save his people. Folks, I'm not trying to supersede God or take the place of the Holy Spirit. But God has chosen to use us. We are his witnesses declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ to our children, our grandchildren, and other people's children and grandchildren. And we've got children and grandchildren today that are lost. The church in Tulsa, about every family in the church has got someone in their family that's lost. And I've got two sons, I've got six grandchildren, they're all lost. And I've got one son and one daughter that's saved. I'm thankful for that, but I'd like to see the other saved too. And so I want to deal this morning with being an heir of God. He speaks of the children being under the law, under tutorship, under governorship, and under bondage, actually, in that case. And that's what a lost person is. They're under bondage. They're under the law. Every lost person, whether they recognize it or not, are obligated to keep the law of God. And every time they break that law in any way, they're going to give an account for it one of these days before the great white throne judgment. The books are brought there, and the things are written in that book's going to be opened up. And folks, they're written in the books. Lost people need to know that their actions before in this life are before God, and they are going to be judged according to God's law, not their own law. I mean, our society and the laws we have today are pitiful. But God's law has never changed. It's just as pure and holy and righteous and true as it's ever been. And everyone's going to have to give an account. Speaking to the Jews, of course, and Israelites, they were under bondage, under the law, under the ceremonial law, until the Lord came and they were brought into the gospel, into faith. Jesus came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," or among you, the time for the gospel to be preached. I also notice that it mentions in here often the time appointed of God. Brother Jury dealt somewhat yesterday with God's sovereignty. We know that if our children are saved, they'll be saved by the grace of God, and they'll be saved at God's time. I don't take that away, but I know that I would like to be used to tell them about Jesus when the Lord saves them, wouldn't you? I mean, wouldn't that be the greatest joy of your life to have your own son, your own daughter, your grandchildren that you give your life for? And be able to sit and talk to them and tell them how wonderful it is to know Jesus Christ and have the Lord to save them through your efforts. And I think when we get to heaven, we'll be credited for our faithfulness to the gospel of Christ. And so we're looking at what we are going to have and receive when we get into the kingdom of God. Now, first of all, I want to deal with the statement, adoption of sons. I heard Brother Cecil Lawrence preach. I believe it was here. The last message he preached while I was pastor here in our conference. In fact, it was the last message he preached in his life. He went back to Bristol and he had a Bible study on Wednesday night, and he died Saturday, I believe it was, and had a stroke. He preached on the adoption. I still remember that message. And it's a wonderful thought, because it has to do with God having the only begotten Son, but He's got probably millions of sons because He's adopted us.
Right.
And as being a legal son by adoption, then we become subject to heirship. We have a claim, in a sense, of an inheritance with the only begotten Son. And this is what the apostle is dealing with here. He says in John, first chapter, in verse 12, he says, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which that believe on His name." That is, this is God's working to give us this position. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, Paul says this. He said, "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him." Now notice this, verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." What's predestinated? Our inheritance. Every time that word's used in the Bible, it's clarified. It explains what God predestinated. Here, He predestinated our inheritance. Just as surely as He predestinated us as adoption children, the same sovereign God who never fails has predetermined that we inherit with Jesus Christ. So it's sure, isn't it? I think Brother Jerry also mentioned in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, where it speaks of how God saves. He said, "Them He justified, He glorified," past tense. Well, we're not glorified yet, but it's just as sure as if we were.
That's right.
Because of predetermined will of Almighty God. He has chosen us in eternity past, and I take the view that there was a time we weren't chosen. I don't believe God just sat down and decided to do something. It's always been with God. It's like my granddaughter asked me, coming down here, she has a problem understanding that God had no beginning. How can there be a being that has no beginning? Well, He had no beginning, and everything He's purposed to do has no beginning. It's always been with God.
That's right.
If you can explain that, I wish you'd explain it to my granddaughter. I couldn't do it. But it's true. And that makes this old sinner a child of God by grace, and I'm rich. Because I am an inheritance with the Son of God. My gracious life, what a wonder that is. To an inheritance, this speaks of a relationship that God has chosen to give us in His Son. I want to stop here now and insert, this is one of the main reasons I want to preach on this. I deal with the lost quite a bit in our church, and we've got a small church, and sometimes my granddaughter's the only one that's there that's lost. Rachel Thorne comes sometimes through to the boys, but they're little teeny boys and probably not old enough to fully understand anything much yet, but I still deal with the lost. If I got one lost person, I want to tell them about Jesus. I don't have a lot of time left. I'm getting old. My hair's actually turned gray. For a long time it didn't want to do that. Now it's starting to turn gray. I'm getting old. I don't know how much longer the Lord's got me in this life, but folks, it's one thing I want to do. It's just serve them. It's tell sinners they need to be saved. And I mean, even hard-headed Christians, sometimes you can't get them to do what's right at all. Let's let the Lord handle them. Got to deal with lost folks. I'm just teasing, of course. All men have an inheritance. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you have an inheritance. There is a future eternity awaiting you. I want to make this clear. There's no one exempted from eternity. And I know a lot of folks think, in fact, I witnessed to my daughter's father-in-law, he believed the person just dies and that's it. He didn't believe in eternity. But I want you to know there is an eternity for everyone. And the Bible makes this very clear. You have an eternity. If you go out of this life, you're not going to just cease to exist. The rich man in Luke chapter 16 lifted up his eyes being tormented. He didn't cease to exist. He went out unprepared to meet God, lost. And his inheritance was an eternity in torment. That's a terrible thing. And I don't want anybody to go there. I mean, that's God's business. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, it tells us, it's appointed on the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20, says, all go to one place, all are of the dust. We're not very valuable, are we? Humanly speaking, this old body is just nothing but dust. I think when I was in school, I believe in a science class, my science teacher said it was 90-some% of it was water, the rest of it was dust. Not much of us there, is there? But we have a soul that's eternal. It came from God. And it goes out into eternity. What about the Spirit? The Bible speaks of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God working to bring about God's purpose, God's will. It's the Spirit, according to John chapter 3, that awakens us to the need of Christ. We're born from above, actually. The most amazing thing that God chose us before the worlds even began, before creation was founded. Knows us by name. When Jesus died on the cross, He knew every one of us. The thing about it, brothers and sisters, that I've discovered and studying has convinced me that He knew all of our sins. He didn't die for David O'Neill's sins in general. He died for my particular law-breaking. Paid the price that I owed God and you owed God. Every one of them. So when in eternity past, God knew what we were before He chose. He knew what was going to be before we were born. Instead, He loved us and sent His Son to die for us. Isn't it amazing to be a child of God? That's the inheritance that awaits us as God's children, as opposed to those who don't have Him. I was trying to think of an example to use, and I couldn't come up with one. I thought of a person that came from a poor family, and everybody died in his family but him. There was no inheritance because he was poor, and compared to one who died in a rich family that died and left him millions and millions of dollars. But that's nothing compared to what we have in Christ. It just doesn't even begin to relate the wonders of the elevation that God has given us. You're talking about being promoted. People today work themselves half to death to get a promotion on the job. God promoted us from paupers, from enemies, from unacceptable, unholy, wicked, right, unrighteous individuals, places us on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and declares us, David sung that song. When he looks at me, he sees the Father. He sees his own Son that's in the Father's eyes because he sees me in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's our inheritance, brothers and sisters. Now, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the apostle says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Then he goes on to say, if we're children, then we're heirs. We have that coming. It belongs to us. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I'm just amazed that we can have such a relationship with God's Son. And it all goes back to our adoption, that God, in His love for us and His desire to have us as His sons, that He elevates us to some degree a level with Jesus Christ. We're holy. We're righteous. We're acceptable. We'll go someday see God because we're like His Son. Not that we have anything within ourselves. No, we have all this in Christ. Remember, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And He give us this adoption of children. He said, join heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, we may also glorify together. What a future place we have in heaven. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Wow. To be a child of God. Lost person this morning. Let Let me just approach you just a moment. I've got some here that I love that's lost, and I know there's others here too. To be an heir of Christ, or be an heir with Christ, heir in God's kingdom, is the most desirable thing, position, whatever you want to call it, that we could have. There's just absolutely nothing in this world that can compare with it. You take all the wealth, the entertainment, the joy, everything, all that the world has, I mean the complete world, and you put it together, heap it in a pile, and it won't equal what you have in Christ Jesus. To be an heir with Jesus Christ, to know Him as your blessed Savior. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. As you know, John had an unusual way of putting things. I love the Gospel of John. It's just amazing to read it through over and over again. And every time you read it, something stands out to you. But in his epistle, first epistle, he says in chapter 3 and verse 1, said, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Wow. That's love. No wonder John recorded John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Folks, we serve a God that has been so good to us that we don't even know the half of it yet. We're just getting a little taste now and then of the wonders of the grace that God has given us. When we go home, a lot of people have asked me, "Brother David, what do you think heaven's going to be like?" I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. In fact, I think after we've been there 10,000 years, we still won't know all of it. It's going to be that amazing to be in this place without sin, without any of the results of the curse, to be in the presence of this wonderful Savior and this thrice holy God. I mean, how can this human mind get hold of an idea like that in reality and understand it? We're such feeble creatures. Back when I was a young preacher, I used to wish I could preach like other preachers. I don't know what all preachers do that or not. I've sat under some great preachers in my time. And I know a lot of preachers talk about Spurgeon and Jonathan Edwards and Gill and all those preachers. And they were great men. But I've sat under some preachers in my lifetime just as good as they were. I mean, humanly speaking, their abilities. I think there's a few of them still alive today that have capabilities far greater than most of us have. I used to sit and listen to Brother Wayne Cox preach, and he used to fascinate me. He had this voice that just penetrates you, just demanded your attention. Of course, he had a photographic memory, and he could quote the Bible. He could quote any verse he wanted to whenever he wanted to. And I was a pastor for 6 years, and I want you to know something. That wasn't the easiest task in the world. But I used to wonder what it would be like to preach like him. Yeah. But you know, folks, I'm glad I'm not. Yeah. Because I'm not Wayne Cox. I'm David O'Neill. God called me to preach. And He's given me a wonderful life to preach the gospel. And it just dawned on me in the last few years just how important the gospel is. I spent most of my early years preaching doctrine. I thought, you know, I love Bible doctrine. I still do. Yeah. I love these doctrines. But when it comes to what God calls us, sometimes it costs some of those fellows that's not as sharp as we ought to be. We can't dig into these doctrines as well as we should. And it calls us so we'll preach the important thing. Simplicity. The gospel of Jesus Christ. To be an heir of God. To have the hope of eternity. Because God loved us from the foundation of the world. And sent His Son that we might be adopted into His family. Be one of His sons throughout eternity. Lost person, don't you want to be a part of that? Isn't it wonderful to just think that you could be the son of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, joint heir with Him? And when He turns the kingdom over to the Father, the Bible says that when He subdues all His enemies, He's going to turn the kingdom over to the Father, that the Father may be the all in all. Wouldn't you just love to be there and behold that scene when the Son hands us over to the Father and says, "Here's your children, Father. I've taken care of all that's needed." Didn't that for us, folks?
That's right.
We're heirs of God. Brother Jerry.
Amen.